Dr. R.J. Rushduni, RR 158A1. Religious nature of education, or can education be neutral? Christian education, Christian schools.
Can education be neutral? Basic to the biblical view of man and history are the facts of creation and the fall. With respect to creation, we are told very plainly by the Apostle John, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This tells us that there is not a neutral fact in all creation, that not an atom in all the universe can be neutral. We cannot be neutral, nor can education. The universe is not self-generated, nor self-determined. And because it is a created universe, it follows of necessity that it has a given purpose, a destination, ordained not by man, but by the Maker of all things. Neither man nor the universe chose to come into being. Their creation, the boundaries of all things, and their potential are God-ordained. All things, therefore, have a given nature, a predetermined being. And this means that man cannot be an impartial observer. He cannot be neutral with regard to himself or to anything in all creation. God, having made all things, has ordained their purpose, their meaning, and their boundaries. God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The fact of creation, that God made all things in terms of his purpose, establishes the nature and the meaning of life of the universe. It is a given realm. It is not of our making. We are stewards here. We cannot command nor ordain the meaning of things, because every atom in all creation is God created. There is no brute factuality. The concept of brute factuality, a philosophical concept, holds that all facts are meaningless facts, self-generated facts, that because all things came into being accidentally, there is no given, no predetermined, no God-ordained meaning for any fact or for any event. But there are no brute facts, no meaningless facts, no neutral facts. But the fact of the fall is man's attempt to deny the given, the predetermined nature of reality, and to insist on a neutral and existential universe. We are told in Genesis 3:5 that the tempter said, "Ye shall be as gods," knowing, that is, determining for yourself what constitutes good and evil. Every man as his own God would then establish meaning, law, morality for himself. Everything would be a case of situation ethics. Man would say, in terms of the given situation, I want to do thus and so, and therefore it is right. This is pragmatism. This is what is at the basis of progressive education, of modern schooling in state education. It means that because all facts are self-generated, because supposedly there is no God, the only meaning that can exist is a man-created meaning. About 15 years ago, at an institution not too far from this place, I was in a forum where a graduate professor from Johns Hopkins became very upset in our forum at my statement about the fact of no neutrality, that all things have a God-ordained meaning, and therefore all things have an ultimate rationality that comes not from man, but from God who made them, from the Word of God, the Logos, through whom all things came into being. He insisted that there was only a thin razor edge of rationality in the universe, and it came from the mind of man. That apart from the mind of man, no reason existed under the sun. And that the only meaning in all the universe was a man-created meaning, whereby man could give a temporary meaning to things and therefore change the meaning as it suited him. This type of thinking is behind our present economic order. To a very great extent, we in the United States, while not as tyrannical as the Soviet Union, are in some respects philosophically more radical. The Soviet Union believes in a planned society, which means that it believes, therefore, that there is one truth in the universe, their concept of economic order and social order. But in this country, we abandoned a generation ago in our economic and political circles, the concept of a planned society in favor of a planning society. What's the difference? A planning society improvises because it says there is no one true meaning. That all economics is purely relative, and all political societies are also. And therefore, we improvise as we go along, and we find what suits the situation. In other words, truth is merely instrumental, pragmatic. There is no right nor wrong. Only what suits the moment. In terms of this, of course, a universe no longer exists. Only a multiverse. Very few people are aware of the fact that it was at University of California, Berkeley, that the student rebellion broke out at the end of the 50s. Why there? There are other schools as radical in some respects than Berkeley. But Berkeley was headed by Clark Kerr at that time. And in a series of lectures at Harvard, published subsequently, Clark Kerr attacked the idea of the university. Because, he said, the very concept of a university, by implication, he said this, presupposes the concept of a God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Out of that faith came our culture, our civilization. A belief that because there is one God, there is therefore a universe, a unified body of law that governs all things. And therefore knowledge is possible because there is a consistency in all things in the universe, whether you are outside of our solar system or within it. But Clark Kerr insisted that given the fact of the modern perspective, evolutionary, anti-God, anti-Christian, there is no universe. And a university presupposes a universe, one God, one faith, a unity of truth. On the contrary, said Clark Kerr, we have a multiverse, and therefore we should have instead multiversities. In a multiversity, all things are possible. Any kind of truth is tenable. Anything can legitimately be taught other than, was the implication, biblical faith. Because biblical faith denies a multiverse and a multiversity. One Lord, one faith, one baptism indicates that wherever you teach and whatever you teach, you must be governed by the absolute truth of a God who made all things. Given that fact, it was logical that somewhere, right in Clark Kerr's background, the students came to the logical conclusion. Why then should Clark Kerr's truth prevail? Or the faculties? Or Washington's? What we believe is as valid as what they believe. And our idea that free speech should include what they call filthy speech is as valid as theirs. And why shouldn't, as some of the proponents went on to say, students copulate as openly and freely on campus as the dogs do? If it's a multiverse, anything goes. There is no right nor wrong, no good nor evil. No law. All facts are neutral. Equally true, equally false, and equally meaningless. This is the doctrine of the fall. Every man his own God and is his own law. Because all things are equally meaningless. And God can impose his meaning, but man can impose his. And for God to attempt to tell man what is right and wrong is to impose on man's freedom. The fall is therefore man's assertion that reality is neutral, and that it is man, not God, who establishes meaning. The result was the enunciation of the principle of autonomy. Autonomy means auto self, nomos law, self law, as against theonomy, God's law. We live in a theonomous universe because all things are made by Him, are governed by Him, are judged by Him. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. There is no fact outside His government. For the Scriptures, therefore, neutrality is a myth. It leads to making God, if He exists, someone outside life, outside education and politics. This is why the Death of God movement of about 15 years ago did not say God is dead, period. What they said rather, and most people missed, and it's the premise of philosophy and theology since, God is dead for us. Whether He lives or not is irrelevant to us. Whatever He says may be interesting, but it is no more binding upon us than anything our neighbor says. Only that which we choose of our own free will can be binding upon us, because all things having evolved out of nothing are neutral. And my meaning is therefore as valid, as true, as is God's. Generated universe thus can make its own laws. And therefore the doctrine of evolution is basic to the myth of neutrality. It has led to biblical law being shelved. It has been replaced by man's law, statist or anarchist. Humanistic autonomy has replaced theonomy, man's law for God's law. But all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And neutrality is a myth. It is a denial of the reality of the universe we live in, of the fact that the wages of sin have been always and always will be the same: death. The myth of neutrality is a form of warfare against God. There is no subject, therefore, in education that is neutral. Education is, in fact, an inescapably religious concern. A culture, through its education, passes on the values, the skills it prizes to its youth, to the future. The religion of a people determines its education. Even a scholar at Columbia Teachers College has made clear that he feels that education is inescapably religious, although for him this means the religion of humanism. Education can never be neutral. A child is not taught in arithmetic that 2 plus 2 can equal 3, 5, 10, 20, or whatever he chooses. What point would there be in education if 2 plus 2 could mean what we willed it to mean. Mathematics is not neutral. It tells us that certain things result in certain conclusions. Education can never be neutral, but it can be humanistic. It can express one particular religion as against another. And contemporary statist education is militantly humanistic. It leaves out of teaching the central aspect of all wisdom and of all learning, for we are told in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. And in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. To try to educate without reference to God is worse than teaching about the ocean while denying that it is made up of water. The key to understanding is then denied. Let us remember again Genesis 3:5. It is the program for man's self-deification. It is existentialism. It makes man the source of all meaning. And if man is the source of all meaning, it leads to a child-centered rather than to a subject-centered education. Very early, progressivism depreciated subject matter, stressed the child. And studies like mathematics, English grammar, and history were downgraded because they are anti-neutral. Their implications are that there are certain things, certain rules, certain dates that must be learned. One of our staff members, who works out of Lausanne, Switzerland, was visiting us about a month ago. And he pointed out how progressivism has invaded the schools of Europe. And in one country, all dates now and the teaching of history, which is called social studies, is here, are eliminated. Eliminated. Why? Because dates give a fixity. Dates tell us something is right or wrong, that Columbus discovered America in 1492, not 1650. Instead, what they are told is the flow of history, which can mean whatever the teacher chooses to make it mean or whatever the student wants it to mean, because the flow of history leads to the meaning I want it to have. And so the future will be what I make it. The flow of history is man's emancipation from God and from superstition, ostensibly. And the student becomes a little god, trained to judge the world. In my university days, this was already apparent. In the English department, there was one elderly professor who still taught poetry for appreciation, for enjoyment. And he was the butt of the humor of the rest of the faculty. Their teaching was that all their students should learn how to critique the poets, critique the novelists, critique the essayists, sit in judgment upon them, as though they were their superiors. Is it any wonder that a few generations, having been so taught, now sit in judgment on their parents, and on church and state, and on all things around them? They are taught to play gods. And all who seek to play God also play the role of judge. Not appreciation, but judgment on all things. Hence, humanistic education trains students to judge the past, the present, their parents, all things, and leads to one conclusion, total egoism. Not surprisingly, one of the great slogans of the 70s was, "I want to be me." Self-fulfillment, not God's mandate, became the goal of education. It should not surprise us, too, that there were educators who defended that and said the older generation, not having the proper understanding, saw everything as confusion rather than success, and were critical of their children instead of appreciative. The goal of our humanistic statist education is the goal of the fall of Satan. It is the goal of Genesis 3:5. Whereas the goal of Christian education is summed up by Moses and our Lord. Moses says in Deuteronomy 10:12-13, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And our Lord tells us in Matthew 22:37-40, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." These words give us the purpose of life as God requires it. They do not give us a world where we can be neutral either with regard to man or our neighbor. The purpose of education can be no different, because education is preparation for life. We include or we exclude in terms of that goal certain things, because we are governed by our faith. As humanists, we exclude God as irrelevant. As Christians, we see him as the starting point of all wisdom and learning. And to exclude God, to exclude the Bible from education, is not neutrality. It is warfare. Every curriculum is an affirmation of faith. It tells us what we believe is essential for life, what we believe that a child needs in order to face this world and become a conqueror therein. Humanistic education does not see Christ as essential, but as a roadblock. It claims to be neutral, but there is nothing neutral about it. Only warfare against our faith. Any education apart from Jesus Christ is for us miseducation. And it produces not education nor an educated man, but a new race of barbarians who are today busily destroying their civilization. It is our duty through our schools to create a new one, a God-centered one. We are told in Proverbs 8, verses 35 and 36, "For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Humanistic education is the institutionalized love of death. Christian education, because it serves him who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," is the love of life. Thank you.
Authorized by the Chalcedon Foundation. Archived by the Mount Olive Tape Library. Digitized by ChristRules.com.